this is Chip Brim, and this is the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast with Dr. Billy Brim. Today you'll be hearing from Billy Brim's classic message series entitled Holiness. As you listen to these teachings, you will learn how to discipline the flesh, live according to the Spirit, separate yourself more unto God to become endued with power, and become holy as He is holy. So grab your Bible and enjoy today's message.
It was in Rockwall, Texas. He was preaching a tent meeting. And as he was preaching that night, the spirit of prayer came on them. And he said, let's all just pray. It was a real rainy night. And not many people had turned out to the tent meeting. So he had a little chair up the front. And he kneeled down by that chair. And the people who were there knelt down. And he heard a voice saying, come up hither. Well, he thought it was some boys on the side of the mountain that were making fun of the Holy Ghost meeting. So he didn't pay attention. And then he heard, come up hither. That's come up hither. That's what he said there in Revelation 4. Come up hither. And he looked up and he said, about where the top of the tent should have been, there stood Jesus. And he said, come up hither, come up hither, come up hither to the throne of God. And I'll read you some of the things Jesus said. Warn this generation as did Noah his generation, for judgment is about to fall. Sometimes we don't like to think about that, but God is a God of judgment. It's about to wind up here. Earth's going to be judged. And these sayings shall be fulfilled shortly, for I am coming soon. Jesus repeated, this is the last revival. I'm preparing my people for my coming. Judgment is coming, but I will call my people away, even unto myself, before the worst shall come. Be thou faithful, watch and pray. For the time of the end of all things is at hand. Jesus spoke that there to him and gave him a vision in the tent. I saw Jesus standing about where the top of the tent should be, and I went to him through the air. When I reached him, together we continued on to heaven. We came to the throne of God, and I beheld it in all its splendor. I was not able to look upon the face of God. I only beheld his form. The first thing that attracted my attention was the rainbow about the throne. It was very beautiful. The second thing I noticed was the winged creatures on either side of the throne. They were peculiar-looking creatures, and as I walked up with Jesus, these creatures stood with wings outstretched. They were saying something, but they ceased and folded their wings. They had eyes of fire set all around their heads, and they looked in all directions at once. I stood with Jesus in the midst, about 18 to 24 feet from the throne. I looked at the rainbow first, at the winged creatures, and then I started to look at the one who sat upon the throne. Jesus told me not to look upon his face. I could only see a form of a being seated upon the throne. Jesus talked with me for nearly an hour. I saw him as plainly as I ever saw anyone in this life. I heard him speak. And then he was given instruction, which mainly has to do with the preparation of the body of Christ for the coming of her King. For the coming of her Savior, for the coming of her Lord, for the coming of her Bridegroom. We will be fit, we will be ready. Bless the Lord. Earth will know a great harvest before He comes, but it's going to demand something of us more than just slipshod Christianity. It's going to involve a dedication and a consecration and a coming on through the door. But I said to Brother Hagin there at the table, I told him what Lynn saw, and he said, that's exactly what they look like to me. He said they had eyes like fire around their heads, each eye about the size of a quarter. Well, I thought about that. I thought, my goodness, now this is something we have been visited, it would seem. I can't say for sure, but it would seem to me, I know that angels are in classes. I know that beings in heaven are in classes. It seems to me that we've been visited by a very high order of being. We have been visited by someone who a being who stands before the throne of God. Hallelujah. And sometimes we don't understand completely what it means to stand before. And as I give you this right now, I don't know if you'll get it all. I might have to speed by this. And but I want you to understand a little bit what it means to stand before. To stand before is... It's an Eastern thing. You stand before kings. There are those who stand in the presence of kings. That is their place. These living creatures, their place is to stand before the throne of God. And I want you to look just a little bit at this in the Bible. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Now you, when something comes like this morning, it may be more inspirational. It won't be something you just put down point one, two, three, but it should inspire you because it's touched with a prophetic tinge. Let's turn to Jeremiah 35, and we'll look at verse 19. There were some people who were in trouble with God, and they were going to know judgment. And then there were these people, because they obeyed God, they were going to get a blessing. So here is, let's start with verse 18. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the son of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rahab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. For this great obedience that they've done to God, their marvelous reward is going to be a man of their house will stand before God forever. Now that might not mean much to you, but it's a big thing. And let's, while we're in Jeremiah, many places in the Bible it speaks of those who stand in the presence of the king. But let's look at Jeremiah 15:1. Now God's angry with Israel. They deserve judgment. And this is a telling verse. Jeremiah 15:1. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Moses and Samuel have already been going on to heaven for a long time. And he says, even though Moses and Samuel stood before me, were granted audience and stood before me for Israel, I would not let them get away with this. Remember, Moses had interceded for Israel before, and God had answered him. But he said, even though they stood before me, this time it wouldn't work. Now I want you to turn to Zechariah 3. Hallelujah, glory. Zechariah chapter 3. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. The next to last book. How many of you knew Brother Philip Halverson? You're blessed. He was the man most advanced in prayer of any person I've ever known. Praying with Brother Halverson, he prayed partly in tongues, and then he would pray in English. And when you prayed with him, you would pray about things that were going to happen 2 or 3 months or years down the line. I could stand here and tell you story after story after story. One that you'll remember is he began to pray about Grenada. And then in about 2 months, he didn't even know where Grenada was, had to go look it on the map. And about 2 months, our Marines were there. But Brother Halverson already had it prayed out. And as you know, we didn't lose a lot of lives like they thought we might. And so Brother Halverson was a man of prayer. He went to be with the Lord from Mac and Lynn's pulpit in 1985. Brother Halverson was the man, I believe he was the man most like Jesus I've ever known in my life. And to be around him was to be around a spiritual giant. I heard someone say, to be around those people were like I heard Brenda Steen say that some of the people we've been around them was like being around space people. When you were around them, you got into this space capsule with them and you went off up there in places you hadn't been before. And that's how it was with Brother Halverson. Now, Brother Halverson, in 1985, Mac had some new things to do with the church. And he gave his program to the church, and then he invited Brother Halverson to come up and pray about them. And Brother Halverson, would you stand up there on the end, you second from the end? You? Uh-huh. And face the people. This is how Brother Halverson looked. Bless the Lord. His cheeks were redder. And he was Scandinavian, so he was lighter in color with redder cheeks. And he looked like, his face was kind and jovial like Santa Claus, if there were a real one, it could have looked like him. And just a blessing to be around, and always made you feel good. When he came around you, he was so like Jesus, and when he just talked to you, wasn't it like this, Shelley? It was like God had you on his mind, and you were loved by God. and he had this prayer going up for you or this ministry to you. Bless the Lord. And Mac that morning put forth and told his plan for the church, and then he asked Brother Halverson to come up and pray about it. Mac has a high platform and a thing that comes out in the front of it, a little bit in front of the people. So they came down on that part, and Brother Halverson began to pray like he always did, and prayed rather a long prayer. They have it on tape. And then suddenly he fell under the power with Mac in his arms, and Brother Halverson smiled a great smile, and he was gone. And the church went into high worship and praise, very high worship and praise. Someone called me from the back room at the platform right when it had happened. And when they examined his body, as you have to do in Minneapolis if someone dies without sickness and disease, they found that he had no known cause of death. They called Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said, what a way to go. And he was, I'm sure, graduated, went up another step of glory to another assignment. Really, if God wanted to promote him, I don't know how he could have been promoted anymore on earth. I believe he had to take him to glory to promote him. And but Brother Halverson knew, we found later, that he was going to go. He had everything in order. He fixed up little things for his wife. And as we listened to his tapes, we heard him doing a countdown. And he would pray, like I told you, he could pray in English. He would pray in English as well as tongues. And he would say, 3 months home free, 3 months home free. Glory to God. And then he'd go counting down, 2 months home free, 2 months home free. And then it got down closer and closer, and then he left. No sickness, no disease. He left like Enoch left. Bless the Lord. So it didn't have anything to do with the devil. It just had to do with the call of God. He just stepped up onto the next phase of glory. But about in February, now he went to be with the Lord at the end of May, 1st of June. And in February, we had a prayer meeting down in Houston, Texas, a big one, at the Astrodome. Some of you may have been there. And when he came back in from that prayer meeting, he set down his bags and went to bed. And when he went to bed, lay down to go to bed, his body laid down, but his spirit didn't. And his spirit just took off. And his spirit went first up into the heavenlies with a group of people, he said, were, he was Norwegian, had a strong Norwegian accent, they were marching into God. And he said, I joined their throng. They were praising and worshiping and marching into God. And he said, for the first time in my life, nothing held me back from worshiping and praising God. There was no hold of the flesh to keep you from going on. You know how you yearn to go on in prayer?
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. To order these teachings in their entirety or learn more about Billy Brim Ministries, please log on to www.billybrim.org. That's www.billybrim.org. Or call us at 1-800-972-3447. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And this is Chip Brim saying, Shalom.